going?
Yes, go.
Okay, so, all right, so anyway, so the, so we mentioned the Chazal over there, Rosh Hashanah, that's right on base. Taisa says, it's all one idea, basically. Kira Nakri, and then the same thing with the, with the, these three things of Maskev and Maskev and Ashavon. Kira Nakri, and Ian Tfila, and most Dina Chavera. It means that certain feeling, that inherent feeling, of, an inherent narcissistic feeling that a person has. Why does a person walk under a wall that is about to cave in? Because he feels, nothing can happen to me. Nothing can happen to me. That feeling is the source, is what is Moscow Vanessa. Same thing with this tefillah. Feels God is going to answer my tefillah. A certain inherent feeling of superiority he has. And the same thing with his chava. His chava, he is certain that he is right, and his chava is wrong. You can see the flaw in his chava, and he has the feeling that with regard to him, he definitely is a tzaddik. That sense, that feeling, does not come from an objective evaluation of the situation. It doesn't come from the reality principle of man. It comes from another part of his nature. What the Chazal mean is that emotion, that sense, is what is responsible for a person's bad judgment on the Yom HaDin. That emotion is the most dangerous thing in man. That's what the Chazal says. Beautiful Chazal. And that's why tefillah really is a dangerous dangerous thing. I mean, you have to be mispalo, but you have to be sure to avoid the primitive type of tefillah. The tefillah is obviously the chacham. That's the most underlying principle, the most underlying sort of tefillah. Well, that's what I mentioned last time. But Meser Ozno Mishmar Devar Torah Gam Tefillah Satoeva. Not just it wasn't mispalo. It's an abomination. You have to know. Without seichel, without chachma, there is no tefillah. Just because a person is meschaven and davens and has kavana, does not mean that his tefillah is good. Not only that, it could be horrible. Yeah, that's the Gemara says. That's the Elimel Shabbayach. Shalosam Chokene Gehem, Shem Mishtachem, Anachem Mishtachem. That's the whole idea. Because you have to understand that if Yadis has a different God, so naturally it has a different, has to have a different tefillah. This tefillah is inherently related to God. It has to be different. It is totally different. Okay. Very difficult parak in the Rambam. It's Perek Gimel Mehilchos Tshuva. Okay. I'm not going to answer all the questions, I mean, with regard to the Perek, but I'd like to at least try to open up what the basic idea in the Rambam is. Okay? We have to go through a little bit of the facts of the Perek first. All right. And the Rambam starts like this. The Rambam starts off, he says like this. Every person in the world has mitzvos, vavonos, and he has sins. Okay? Kol sheschuyosov yiseros alavonosov, any person whose merits are greater than his sins is a tzaddik, righteous person. That's the definition of a tzaddik. A person whose sins are more than his merits, than his mitzvos, is considered a Russian. He's 50-50, so he's a Benini. In between. V'cheina Medina, the Rambam says. And also, Medina means a country. And the same thing applies to a medina, to a government, a country, and then v'chein kol olam kulo. The same thing with regard to the entire world. Okay. Now, he says a person, adam shevanosav mudnos chiyosav, a person whose sins are greater than his merits, miyadu meis barisho. Immediately dies with his sin. Shenema rov avonchos. What's a possible? The chayim medina, and also a government, a country, shavona sam merubin, whose sins are more plentiful than their merits. Miyad he avedus. It is immediately destroyed. Shenema, the pasuk says, zarkas don vamorok rabba. that the cry of Sodom and Amorah is great, means the sins are great. The cry means the cry of the people who are oppressed, the ones who are oppressed. Hachem kol olam kulon, the same thing with the entire world. If their sins are greater than their merits, the world is destroyed. It's not just a pasuk in Bereishis, a ma'isa shehoya, vayar Hashem ki rabba ro'as Adam, but it's a general rule. Why? Because very simple. How do you know it's a general rule? It's not just a specific event that took place. Because the prophet says, "And the Hashem lo shanisi," it's based upon God's judgment, and God doesn't change. Just like He judged the people at that time, so He judges them now as well. So if it happened in the past, it has to the same rule has to apply. Now the laws of God don't change. Then the Rambam qualifies. He says like this: "V'shikol zeh," and this evaluation, "ein lefi minyanos chuyos ravonos, elu lefi godlo." He says, it doesn't go by simply counting the mitzvahs. The person did 100 mitzvahs and did 50 averus. But it has to do with their weightiness, the weightiness of the import of the mitzvahs and the averus. Yesh zuchus shi keneged kamavonos. Sometimes there's a merit that could be weighed against many yavonos. Shenem ayan nintzabo davato. Pasuk says, everything around the pasuk. Means one thing was good because he had a good thing, so that's why he wasn't destroyed. The Yeshavon Shehu Kenegan the Kamas of Huishim or Chotefet Yovat Tova Harbe. Alright? Ram again quotes a Pasuk. Everything, Ram quotes a Pasuk of everything. You have to wonder sometimes, why does Ram quote a Pasuk of everything over here? It seems to be a logical thing. You don't have to, Gemara says, Svari, Lamali Krosh. It says something's logical, you don't need a Pasuk. Alright? What? Vain shelfing ella bedaito shall kale deos. And the only way you could weigh this, the only way this evaluation takes place is through God's knowledge. Vuhu hayodea, heyach orchanas, chuyos keneged avonos. Only God knows how to make this judgment and how to make this evaluation. No human being has any idea of it. Alright? They have ideas, but the ideas are false. Okay. So it comes out from the Rambam that the Yachid and the country and the even the entire world, kol olam kulo. You see, they're right when they say the world is in danger of being destroyed, but not because of the nuclear problem. The problem is more basic. You have to go down to the source of the problem. The source of the problem is what the Rambam says. The world is in jeopardy. Okay. I got it. I want to make sure I have it. Okay. Yeah, just move on. Okay, now. So the Rambam's like this. Now the Rambam goes on, and he brings in that case where a person has charot on doing mitzvahs. Now it's like this. And Kishen, he goes back. What that's doing there, I say, is a problem. But he goes back. Says, so just like they weigh a person's mitzvahs and averus at the time of his death, so too, every year, God weighs the sins of every living creature, and he weighs them against his merits. The Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, Mishnim Tzadik Nechtam L'Chaim. Person who is found to be a tzadik is immediately sealed for life. Umishin Nechtam Rosh Hashanah Nechtam L'Nisa. And a person who is discovered as a Rosh Hashanah is immediately sealed for death. Va'benini, and the one who is a benini, in between person, the one who is machza, tolan also ad Yom Kippur. So what they do is they suspend him. He's suspended, so to speak, until Yom Kippur. Im asa tshuva, if the person did tshuva, nechtam l'chaim, so he's sealed for life. The Im Lav, Nechtamonisa. He didn't do tshuva, so then he sealed to death. Apparently, he learns differently than Tesfus. Because Tesfus learns that whenever it says lachayim and with regard nechtamon alta lachayim, Tesfus learns differently than Rambam would say. Because Tesfus learns, what does it mean lachayim? He says like this. V'chol zeh dekori hocha gabe rishoyim miso v'gabe tzadikim chayim klom alachayim alaba. Tesfus says. Tesfus says in Rosh Hashanah, not referring to Zachrin Lachaim is not referring to Klein Tesis, not for life on this world. That's what it has to do with. But the Rambam seems to learn the Gemara is referring to Chay Olam Hazeh, because the Rambam is talking about Olam Hazeh there. Now, at any rate, Tesis goes on. The Rambam goes on, and then he goes into that well-known Rambam about Kiyas Shefer. Rosh Hashanah suggests a kasher, but there's a remez in the Kiyas Shefer. And what is the purpose of the Kiyas Shefer? To make a person awake from his sleep, and to investigate his deeds, and to repent, to do tshuva, and to remember God. Elo Ashochim Esaimes Bahavle Azman Vishogim Kol Shnosim Behevel Arik. These people that forget the truth, forget reality, and just waste their entire lives in emptiness and nonsense. It means basically what that people are just involved in acting out certain psychological fantasies most of their lives. But they don't exist in the, they have no relationship to the world of reality, to their true existence. So he says that habitu l'nafshasechem, so he says, look at your souls and improve your ways, and each one of you should leave his evil way and his thoughts and intentions that are not good. And the Rambam goes on and says, therefore, a person should see himself, visualize himself all year long as if he's abandoned. He's 50-50. And he should look at the world as being half benini, the world of benini. So therefore what happens is like this. If he does one sin, so he tipped the balance of the scale for himself and for the entire world to the side of chova. If he did a sin, right? And he caused destruction. He can cause universal destruction by one action. And also he says, conversely, if he does one mitzvah, so then he tips the scale, his own scale and the scale of the world for the good, and he causes he himself and them a tshuva and a hatzalah. He saves the world. Shenemar v'tzadik yisod olam. The tzadik is the foundation of the world. Zeshet tzadik yichuyas kol olam eschus v'tzila. That's what it means. Tzadik yisod olam. Tzadik is the foundation of the world. What does it mean? Tzadik is the foundation of the world. It means that one person who's a tzadik can tip the balance and be machriya the entire world in favor of the chus, and therefore God will continue. Will continue their existence. And then he says, and because of this, he says, Nogu kol beis Yisrael laharbos bitztako b'maisin tovim v'lasav b'mitzvos merashana v'ad yom kippurim yesa mikol hashana. That's why people, the minig of Klal Yisrael is to be involved in mitzvos. And to be involved in mitzvos and to do good deeds and to give tzedakah between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur more than all year round. You know, Nagin Yizel, what is it? Exactly what it was tying into over there. He said a lot of things before. But the Nogu Kulam, he says, and the minig of all of them is, Lokam Kulam means all the different various Bate Dinim and Hagim. Okay? The Ashkenazim, Sephardim, there's no difference. Lokum balayla basari yom meilu, to get up at nighttime in these 10 days, will espalo bebatek nesios, and to espalo in shul, the divrei tachnunim uvekivushim, ache yor hayom. That's the source. This is according to the Rambam, that's slichus. Main slichus is really 5 days. Okay? Between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Aseret Yemei Teshuva. So you have 3 days are gone because you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, 1 day in Kippur. And then the Shabbos is four. And then you have Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur makes one. So Rambam was mentioned about Erev Yom Kippur. Could be referring to Rambam 6 days.
It is 6 days. They had a minig of 10, so they started 4 days earlier before
Rosh Hashanah. Right. Yeah, before they earlier, at 10. That's right. That's right. Yeah, 10. That's right. You're right. Yeah. Let's make 10. Yeah. That's right. Make up for the 10. Okay. Now the Rambam goes on. He says like this. Here comes the little block. When they weigh the sins of a person, this is a difficult realm. In Zuchuyosov, when God takes out the scale and weighs the avonos against the mitzvahs, ain mechashvin olav avon shechota botchila. They don't count the first sin. Velo sheni, and not the second one. Elo mishlishi vela, from the third one on. First two don't count. Okay. By the way, there's an internal question here. There's an internal question on up to hay also. An internal question in the Rambam. What's the internal question in the Rambam? It's an interesting question, but it seems pretty obvious. It's a famous question. Everybody asks the question. The question is, the Rambam said before that a person is a Beinoni, so on Rosh Hashanah what happens? He's tolled. So they suspend his judgment until the end of the Purim. What do they wait to see?
If he does tshuva,
the question they ask is, why does the Rambam have to say you wait until he does tshuva? Just send him another mitzvah. That's the kasha. Okay. Famous kasha. Why does he have to do tshuva? If he's a Beinoni, so it says tolan means suspend his so wait, so let him do one mitzvah. Now he's one mitzvah. Now he's not a Beinoni anymore. Now he's a tzaddik. Right? Okay. Anyways, good question. What? Yeah, right. So that was a good kasher.
Yeah, that's
good. That's the kasher, internal kasher, internal question. Okay. Now, it's like this. Bishor sheshoklin avonos odom. No, but you don't know the value. God knows the value.
Okay. Yeah. But you don't know what's going to put you on.
Yeah, but it says the judgment is that the judgment, it says that unless he does tshuva, he's not going to get a good judgment. But we'll let him do it. If he does one mitzvah, he'll get a good judgment. That's the question. God knows what the had to weigh it. So why is it dependent upon his tshuva? Okay. He doesn't do tshuva, he dies.
The question is, why a Beinoni gets it?
Why the Beinoni gets Misa? I mean, that's... Now the Rambam goes into how God weighs the... this is the Rambam's interpretation, by the way. Not everybody learns this way. He gets this from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Ravid argues on him, but this is the way the Rambam interprets. It's a tefillah we say all the time. Okay? So what does that mean, Mavir Rishon Rishon? So Ram explains that the first two don't count, right? The third one is where God starts counting. Now, so he counts from the third one on. Now he sees if the sins from the third one on are greater than what? Than his chusim, than his merits. Osam shtei avonos mitstar from the donos alakol. So these two averis, the first two, are added into the pile, and he gets and he's judged. He's meted out judgment, punishment for the whole bunch of them. Okay?
Right.
All right. But now, okay? So in other words, God takes those first two, holds them on the side for a while. Takes a look at the rest of them. Sees how they are with respect to his mitzvahs. If it comes out that the averus are more than the mitzvahs, he throws the first two into the pile and he gets punishment for all of them. That's the rum. Okay. Anyway, he says, well, what happens next? Then ninsu zechuyosov keneged avonos. But if the merits are exactly equal to the averus, Hashem may avon shlishi ve'elach. But if the merits are exactly equal, and the third one on, in other words, let's say, for instance, just to give a case numerically, let's say he has 10 mitzvahs, he has 10 mitzvahs and 12 averus. So the first two don't count, the first two are held on the side, so it comes out that what does he have? He's equal, 10 and 10, 12 averus, 10 mitzvahs. So the first two are held on the side, just to say all those off. Weigh the other ones, it comes out 10 and 10 is exactly 50-50, right? 50-50. So he says like this. So the Rambam says like this. So the Rambam says, Ma'avirin kol avonos of Rishon Rishon. So then God takes away, removes, wipes off, pushes, throws aside his averus Rishon Rishon, one at a time. Has it work one at a time? Goes like this: Lefisha Shlishi Nechshav Rishon. Because now the third one is considered what? It's considered the first one. Shekvainim Kol Shnayim. Because the first two are gone. There's Malchus the first two. V'chein harvi arei rishon shekvarnim chalashlishi. But now after God forgives the third one, it comes that the fourth one is also the first one. So therefore now he doesn't have a fourth one. Now four are gone, and what's the number five? But number five, since the fourth are gone, number five, since the first four are gone, so now number five is number one. Number one is always...
Needs to get to 10 mitzvahs. Why is it going?
No. All is averus are forgiven one at a time. The first two are gone. So therefore,
is it the first averus always gone?
First two.
The first two are gone.
Separate rule.
Separate rule of Mavarisha. Not because Mavarisha. He gets the 10 mitzvahs that are like in this case.
The rule is Mavarisha. Mavarisha.
That's only been on.
The so then God is passes away every avera one at a time, because the first one he always forgives.
Right.
Two are gone, three is number one, gone. Now four is number one, that one goes away. Five is number one. He goes through till the man has no more avera left. Okay, the chain at one. Straight through to the end. Alright. And then the Ram goes on, he says, Bamedvam on the Yachid. That's only by a Yachid, by an individual. But Shinamar, because the pasuk, Hain Kol Ela Yifal Kel Pamim Sholosh Shin Gavah. All right, with a regular person, it's three. First, so the third one is the first one. Avalat Tzibur Tolam Lahen Avon Rishon Sheni Ushlishi. But when God judges a congregation, a group of people, so then the first three holds off. Shinamar Shlosha Pisheshav Ala Bolah Shin Gavah. The fourth one I won't let them get away with. Which means to say the first three he holds in abeyance until he spends them, and then he weighs the rest. The same method, but it's just a matter of whether it's the first two or the first three. Whether an individual it's the first two, and with the tzibur it's the first three. Okay. And this is Shemachashon Adar, Shemachashon Merviveh, same way. The only thing is it's from Merviveh. Okay. Then the Rambam goes on to a different thing with the Nachas Tefillin, different point. Okay, that's basically the end of the Rambam, the system of how God weighs the Averus and the Sfiros. All right. So there's an internal contradiction here in the Rambam again. What's the internal contradiction? Internal contradiction is like this. Difficult question. Rambam contradicts himself from the previous Rambam to this one. Why? Because the Rambam said before that what happens to the Beinoni? What is the plight of the Beinoni? What's the plight of the Beinoni? The Beinoni is the one who's 50-50. And what do we say about the Beinoni? We say that if he does tshuva, then he's forgiven. If he doesn't do tshuva, he's not forgiven. But there's a big problem. Problem is, why does he have to do tshuva? What about Mava Rishon Rishon? Mava Rishon Rishon. The Rambam says openly that the Beinoni, the third Aver becomes the first. Okay? Knock that one off. Number four, that's number one. Boom. Keep going. Knock them all down like dominoes. Just go one after another. That's the case. So why do they have to do tshuva? That's the question. It's an internal contradiction. That's a good question. What Rodney's asking is, Rodney's asking. Yes. That's right. That's a good question. Rodney's asking a good question. Rabbi Feinman's asking a good question. His question is that why do you have to be Mava Rishon Rishon? Why do you have to take off one? Why don't you just say you take off one and now it's a tzaddik? That's it. Why do you have to take off? Why do you have to be Mava Rishon Rishon? Why do you have to go through the whole group and remove them all? Okay. This question. Yeah. So the Kesef Mishnah raises the question. Kesef Mishnah, Beis Yosef. A very logical, logical person. So he saw this problem, and the Machaber saw the problem, and he raised the question right away. Kesef Mishnah is fantastic at his pirush on the Rambam, like very straight, logical. Sees right away as an internal contradiction problem. So he suggests an answer, suggests a solution. His answer is that when the Rambam says about when the Rambam said this Mava Rishon Rishon, the Rambam is not discussing a person on Rosh Hashanah. He's discussing a person beyond Misasa. Because the Rambam already said before that there's two times that they weigh the sin. Mm-hmm. One time is Misa, and the second time is Rosh Hashanah. So he said that the Rambam over here, with this business of Mava Rishon Rishon, is discussing when they weigh the person's mitzvahs and averis on the day of his death. So now you have no more kasha. Because when the Rambam said before that the Beinoni was Nechtam Lemisa unless he does tshuva. Right? That's by Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, where he's alive, he can do tshuva. But where he dies, when he dies, then he can't do tshuva anymore. So then it's Mava Rishon Rishon. Then it's Mava Rishon Rishon. And the only problem is, the Rambam doesn't seem to be saying that, because the Rambam goes on and he says, "Avala tzibor tola land of on rishon sheni shlishi shenema shlosha pishtova bolo shivena." What is talking about the tzibor? The tzibor is talking about the tzibor in Olam Haba. So he says yes, because you do find that there's a judgment for a tzibor. There's a type of judgment for a tzibor, like there's a judgment for a tzibor. Like the Gemara says, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says that what's the case of Sanhedrin? Yeah, Dor Flog Ain Lam Chel Gomor Ba Dor Mabo. The Gemara says, they see where the whole door is judged also. That's his answer. I find the answer difficult because it doesn't seem, when it says Avol Tzibor Telan, it's speaking about a very specific case of a tzibor. It seems it's speaking about a regular tzibor. Shlosha pishiv shova bar lo shivena. It's talking about a tzibor here. Not talking about the fuss. Not talking about the a tzibor in Olam Haba. Okay. The answer is a bit difficult. Yeah. Moreover, I have a raya. A raya that it's not so. It's in the fact that we say in the Kel Melech, Yoshev Kisei Rachim, that you say many times every morning in Slichas. You say, "Mar mechelav tenslav mo chalavonas amo maver rishon rishon." I don't think we're asking for Olam Haba over here. It's on right now. Not being mispala for Olam Haba, it's mispala for now. So it seems maver rishon rishon from the tefila, it seems, referring to the here and now, not for Olam Haba. The Kesef Mishnah's answer is very difficult. Very difficult. It's hard to accept that the Rambam was discussing Olam Haba. But then, if you don't take his answer is a very logical answer. But the only problem is that conceptually it raises questions. It's difficult to accept conceptually. But if you don't take his answer, you're stuck with a logical problem. Problem is that why does he have to do tshuva if in fact it's maver rishon rishon, so God takes away the averus by himself, so what do you have to have tshuva for? That's the problem. What do you have to do tshuva on? And if he does tshuva on the averus, so we know a person that does tshuva on the averus, we send the question, a person does tshuva on the averus, if he's a beni, he does tshuva on the averus, so he has no more averus. Now he's a tzaddik. Alright, averus are gone, he's a tzaddik. So what does God have to do maver rishon rishon for? You don't need God to do maver rishon rishon. Because he all his averus are gone. Like the Rambam says, nothing stands in the way of tshuva. Tshuva is a totally wipes out any averus. If he never did the averus in his life, it even becomes a mitzvah. He's a greater tzaddik than the person who never did the averus. So you don't have to have maver rishon rishon. There's no need for maver rishon rishon. Also, something else is difficult. The Rambam says that the first two averus don't count. First averus, so the comment, like somebody mentioned before, that a person... I'm not saying that a person could do intentionally the first averus. That's a different question. But that would seem clearly not, because you could. I'll explain to you why. But the more overt question is, if the first two averus don't count, so it come out a person doesn't have to do tshuva on the first two averus. Doesn't necessarily have to do tshuva on the first two averus. I don't see anywhere in the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva where the Rambam distinguishes in the first pair between the first avera, the second avera, the third avera. No distinction. The Rambam seems to say pretty clearly, Kol mitzvah sheba Torah bein asei ben lo asei mov adam alachas man bein bezod men bishgaga kishi yase tshuva yashu mechato chayu vuzvada sne akel baruch hu shenemar ishu ish gashmi kol chatas adam. And Vidis, and what did he say? He says, Ona Hashem chatasi yovisi pashat lefanechu asisi kach v'kach. So you see from the Rambam that on every mitzvah, unless you do tshuva, and the Rambam says it later, he says, "Ein miskaper shiyisvada v'yoshiv milasas kzel olam." Shinam mikol chatas olam. The person is not miskaper. His very first halach, and that was tshuva. Nothing can help him unless he does tshuva. He doesn't do tshuva, it's not going to help him. Even if even with regard to schaver, if he pays him back for what he stole from him, or if he damages him, still won't help him. The schaver's mochel still will not help him unless he does tshuva. Because the Rambam says clearly that a person that does it right before, in the end of Perek Beis, a person does a chote lachavero, so a person sins against his chaver, so he has to ask him for mechila. And then it says, the yom afnei chatasi l'Hashem l'kei Yisrael l'ploni ze shekaf v'kakosisi l'aram. So when a person sins against his chaver, it's a double sin. It's a sin against his chaver, sin against God. Chatasi l'Hashem l'kei Yisrael l'ploni. So you see, it's a double sin, Ram. It's clear. So you see, there's no way without tshuva. We're seeing there's no way that the avera is no help. No way. And here the Ram seems to say the first two don't count. So it seems to be the first two. The first is the first two of the year, because they weigh. If God weighs it every year, and He does the process of maver rishon rishon, now they're all gone. Now we'll start over again. Seems so. Well, it seems so. Seen the first two of the year. So it's a good question what Jeff is asking. That it'll come out of Seshem Yitzhuva is only for abandoning.
So
you say if we were abandoning, so we wouldn't need a Seshem Yitzhuva and Yom Kippur. I mean, a Seshem Yitzhuva would be Yom Kippur. The Torah doesn't need Yom Kippur all together. It's impossible. Okay. The whole Rambam sounds funny, the whole Perek Gimel. All the mathematics with this method, what does God need this method for? And the whole thing sounds like strange. What is this? I mean, before you read the first two Prakim Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam goes through the finest points of tshuva and what tshuva is and the details of tshuva and everything. All of a sudden, with this Perek, he comes in with this new system and something funny here. I mean, what's going on in the Rambam? That's what we have to understand.
We had a comfortable general
it takes it out of the whole framework of the rationale of tshuva, and the person's the state of the person's soul is the important thing. And what do we need all this faith brainness for? What is it? Say God judges and that's it. God judges. What do we care? What are we so concerned with how He judges? And what do we care about His method about maver rishon? What are we getting involved with? The whole business we're in for. Just simply, A person, the state of a person's soul, is known to God, and God judges him, and that's it. What is this whole business here? That's the problem. I'm simply going off on a totally different track. You see, I think the Rambam, there's no doubt, the Rambam in Perek Gimel is really going into a totally different area. It has to do with tshuva. It has to do with tshuva. But basically, the Rambam already set forth in the first two prakim, in the first two prakim, which really consists of actually 15 halachas. In the first 15 halachas, he really set forth the main ideas of tshuva. The main ideas of tshuva. He doesn't. Only Perek Zion comes back a little bit again to the benefits of tshuva. He talks more philosophically in Perek Zion. But the plan of tshuva he already set forth in Aleph and Beis, Perek Aleph and Beis. What is this area in Perek Gimel? So I think the area, and also we have to understand what is this whole idea about, you'll notice the Rambam talks about a Yochid and a Tzibor and the whole world. What is this? What is he getting into? I think the Perek Gimel is a different phenomenon altogether. There's two things. There are two totally different tracks in which tshuva is involved. One is a person's relationship to God, the status of a person's soul, how a person relates to God. That's in Perek Aleph and Beis. That's already the realm defined already. But now there's a second thing, a different aspect, totally different aspect. What is a different aspect? The different aspect that is mentioned in Perek Shlishi is the laws, insofar as we know, as far as we understand, the laws that God uses insofar as the continuation of the earth's existence, of human life on earth. You see? That's a different thing altogether. A totally different thing. In other words, Let's say, for instance, a person has chatoyim. A person has chatoyim, it means that insofar as he has sins, obviously he's removed from God. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any difference between a tzadik gomer and a tzadik sheina gomer. You're going to break all the categories. If the moment, as a matter of fact, the beni is going to become a tzadik, because ma v'rishon rishon, the beni is a tzadik, so what's the benefit of the tzadik? There's no more veris. You see? No. Insofar as a person's relationship to God, there's a big difference. Even if a person has one more chait than another person, he's on a different level. His relationship to God is different. You see? But insofar as kiyum ha'olam is concerned, insofar as how God's law, in terms of the world's existence, in terms of human existence, that's a totally different thing. This has to do with God's tolerance insofar as his will. When I say tolerance, all these things, I mean, are only adjectives that we borrow, homonyms like the Rambam says, but it's something that can give us an idea of how to express it. But what it means is, insofar as God's judgment as to the continuation of human life on this planet, there's a judgment that God has with regard to the life that takes place in this universe, in this planet, in our planet. Human life. That is a totally different system. There we have to understand what exactly the boundaries are, what the guidelines are. You have some places in the Torah that discuss it. One of the places is, for instance, the Mabul. That means that there's a different method of judgment after the Mabul than before. As far as the continuation of human existence, Yeshua, God made Yeshua. I have to understand what it is and everything. But you see that there's an area, a different area. So you can have a world in which there are many, many chatoyim taking place. And basically, insofar as how the people relate to God, it might not be too good. But that doesn't mean God's going to destroy them. It doesn't mean God's going to destroy them. They may not be relating to God properly, but nevertheless, God will allow them, will sustain their existence. So he will sustain their existence. So So there's two halachas in tshuva. One halacha, really, I would say, you could tie to chay olam haba. It means a person's inherent, his inherent chelek in olam haba. What is chelek in olam haba is? That has to do with the Ram in the first department, nothing to do with Torah. It has to do with what level the person's on. What is chelek in olam haba is? The third perek has to do with a different phenomenon altogether. It has to do with the laws that God uses. What does God use? Well, how much, what does God tolerate insofar as chet is concerned in terms of continuing human existence? You see. So, paragimel is a totally different thing. Now, tshuva plays a role in paragimel. But that is not, tshuva is not essential anymore. In other words, tshuva plays an essential role in perek aleph and perek beis. But insofar as perek gimel is concerned, it plays a role, but it's subsumed under a greater framework. The framework of the laws with which God governs the world and decides whether we will continue to exist or not continue to exist. Whether this earthly life is going to continue or will stop. You see. Perek gimel is a totally different thing. Okay. Now, you understand very well the answer to the last question we asked. Why is it that the first two averis, a person will say, he doesn't have to do tshuva on? God doesn't count them? If he's abandoned, they don't count? Not only don't they count, but now the next ones will be knocked off consecutively, and then he doesn't have anything to be worried about. The answer is that's only mavir rishon rishon. The process of mavir rishon rishon is only insofar as the continuation of human existence is concerned. That's mavir rishon rishon. You see. But not insofar as his personal relationship with God. Not insofar as human perfection. Insofar as human perfection is concerned, the first chait, unless he does tshuva on the first chait, he is still in a state of imperfection. There's no question about it. And now you can understand another thing. The Rambam says that it depends on, he says, a yochid, God holds off the first two, suspends the first two. But a tzibur is the first three. Well, what's the difference? A tzibur is made up of a lot of yachidim. So why is a tzibur different than a yachid? A group is made up of a lot of individuals. So why is a tzibur different? The answer is it's different insofar as God's laws of continuing their existence is concerned. Insofar as the yachid is concerned, it is not God's will that a yachid should continue if his averus in the first three and on. He only has only the first two. The first two means to say that he's not a ruggle yet bavera. The person's not a ruggle bavera the first two. That's what it means the first two. He's not a ruggle bavera. So God doesn't judge him in the first two chatoim because that's why later it says God throws in the first two if he's a rusher. Because if in fact he turns out to be a rusher, so then the first two count also. Because there's no difference. Now he's a regal bavera. But if it turns out he's a bani, the first two don't count, you see, because God is judging whether the person is a regal bavera or not. First two he can't tell. Of course, all this thing is only descriptive. God doesn't have to count these. It means to say that the ideas are true, but not the method. God doesn't have to count. He's just giving you a description. But it means to say the first two times that a person sins, he's not yet a regal bavera. Not a part of his nature yet. He's not a part of his nature yet. The nature is established from the third one on. And of course, the third one on doesn't mean you count one, two, three. It's only God knows how to make the discussion. But it means, the Rambam point makes a point of that. Only God knows how to make the discussion. But it means to say that his nature with regard to Avera is not established yet. But however, if you see he's in Russia, his nature is established, that he's an established Russia. So then the first two are symptomatic of an inherent part of his nature. It's not just the first two. So then it's counted. But if he's abandoned, in fact, so then the first two are not an inherent part of his nature. So then it doesn't count. Yeah. Now, what I'm saying is like this, that with regard to, what does it mean, mochel and lo? It says that the mavir rishon rishon. You see, there's another thing. If a person is a Beinoni, it doesn't mean if a person is a Beinoni that his Averis and Mavir. Mavir Rishon Rishon. That's impossible. Because in terms of human perfection, unless it's just true, it's enough. Yeah. What it means like this, what it means is there's two halachas again. There's two areas with regard to tshuva. One is insofar as it's personal perfection. The other one is insofar as things that take place on this in this world. God has a law insofar as this world is concerned. God doesn't destroy a person the moment he does an aveira. There'd be no world. Nobody could live. You see. So God creates a situation where man is entitled to live. Hakol tzofei reshus nesuna. God gives man a situation. It's up to him. He has to live according to the way he sees fit. And if he lives properly, he's zochah olam haba. If not, he's not. But there's a certain law insofar as existence over here. He doesn't have aveira. He's not going to get destroyed. You see. He's not going to. If a person got punished for every aveira that he did, you understand people would be in great pain, constant torment. There wouldn't be any human life. So what the Rambam is saying, that's mava rishu rishu, means like this. It means insofar as being nodun, judged in this world, being punished in this world, God doesn't punish people in this world for every avera. What he does is like this. If the person is a benoni, then he's mava rishu rishu. Means to say he will not receive any punishment for this faith. He'll be healthy, he can walk down the street, he can enjoy himself. It doesn't mean because the fact that he's doing, he's enjoying life, that he's a tzaddik gomer. He has averus. What happened to the onshin for those averus? If he got an onshin for every one of his averus, he would be in a total state of pain. Then there'd be no human life. God doesn't. That's not God's world. What God does is mavarishurishin means that he's not going to be punished for those averus. He's not doing for those averus. It doesn't mean that the state of his soul is in a state of perfection. It doesn't mean he's not going to get a judgment in Olam Haba. I'm not talking about that. It doesn't mean he's going to have the biggest chel in Olam Haba. He obviously has a chel in Olam Haba. His wife is a woman and so on. But it doesn't mean he's going to have the biggest chel. It only means insofar as this world is concerned, he is not, God does not judge him. It's maverishim. That's a maverishim. That's human existence. And the same thing applies to a yachid, applies to a group also. But a group, God judges differently. Of course, with a tzibur, you're dealing with a different kind of phenomena. And God doesn't destroy a whole tzibur, because a tzibur is a tzibur is a community. A community, God doesn't. Perfection per se, which was discussed in the first two plakim, but the area of how God judges the world. That I think that concept is clear from the ideas in the Rambam. Yes. Now it's like this. Yeah. Now it's an interesting thing. A very interesting thing emerges from this Rambam. If that's the case, and it would seem that that's what the Rambam's talking about, I could prove it to you, because the Rambam talks a lot, not just about the Yachid. Rambam talks about the Tzibur, talks about the entire world. The entire world. Why is it mentioning the entire world? The answer is because it's a question of the continuation of human existence on this planet. And the truth of the matter is that according to our philosophy, according to Yadis, human life is in danger. The danger is if the whole world is a world of Rishoyim, then our whole existence will cease. That's it. Well, that's the story with Avraham Avinu's dome. And Yesh, there was a Chamishim Tzadikim B'Zochiyah, Born Tzadikim B'Zochiyah. What was Avraham Avinu arguing with God? That was a question of whether the community should be destroyed, weighing the schusim of the Tzadikim, the merits of the Tzadikim, against the whole city. Okay? Avraham Avinu was getting involved in God's judgment, God's method of judgment. We can't do that, but Avraham Avinu apparently had some insight into the method and was able to have a discourse with God on how to judge the city. But that's basically key. As a matter of fact, Ram quotes the pasuk from Sodom, one of the certain quotes here. So that's a whole different department. You see. Now that's interesting. So the Rambam says that the Rambam mentions that The, by the way, Beinoni, I want to make one thing clear to you. You think that Beinoni is like, what are we, Ramses, we have to be concerned, of course, in the Gemara Kedushin, which, if you just read the Gemara Kedushin, you take it metaphorically. But the Ram takes it literally. The Gemara says that a person should be concerned that maybe the whole world is 50-50, and maybe he's 50-50, so therefore one mitzvah tips the scale, and one avera tips it the other way. Okay? So you have to understand, say, what are the chances are going to be exactly 50-50? You have to understand what the Ram says before. The Ram says it's far-fetched. But the answer, truth of the matter is, even if it's far-fetched, if something is a great danger, even a far-fetched thing is something which a person is concerned about. But aside from that, we don't know exactly what Beinoni is. Beinoni could be a wide range. We don't know specifically what the range of Beinoni is. It doesn't say. That's why the Rambam says that only God could judge what a Beinoni is. A Beinoni could have a certain range. It doesn't necessarily mean it specifically, mathematically, worked out to the exact same amount. It means there's a range of Beinoni. We don't know what exactly. Range of Beinoni could be a wide range, you say. Be a wide range. Okay. At any rate, the Rambam says an interesting thing. So the Rambam says that a person apparently is chayav to be involved. He is obligated to involve himself, to be concerned not only about his state, his continued existence, but about the continued existence of the community and the continued existence of the world. Okay? And it's an interesting thing that the Rambam says that's why we get up for slichas. So most people think, what's the purpose of slichas? Slichas is for the yachid. I want to save my wife. Rambam says no. Purpose of slichas is, that's what Rambam says, because of this, we're knowing to do mitzvahs more between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. And to get up early in the morning and say slichas and viduyim and tachnunim. Why? Because of this very idea, because of kiyum ha'olam. Kiyum ha'olam. And that's why you say kel melech yeshua kisi rachman mochal avon asama mavarishin rishin. What are you talking about in the slichas? You're talking about the continuation of the existence of the world, you say. It's an obligation on a person to be concerned about continued existence of the world. That's really the purpose of slichas and Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So, given that that concept, it throws the whole paradigm into a totally different framework. Okay, that's basically the framework of the of paradigm. But I want to add one thing. See, one thing. That was raised by the Kesef Mishnah. Difficult question. If it's 50-50, so why does he have to be Chozer B'Tshuva? Alright? What I want to say is like this. The thing is like this. That in Tshuva, there's two things in Tshuva. One thing in Tshuva is a person does Tshuva on a certain Avera, so he's Nimcha. Forgiven for the Avera, no matter what it is. That's Tshuva, that's it. Gone. But the second thing is, in Tshuva, and we mentioned this once before, that Tshuva really, what does Tshuva really mean? Tshuva means a return. What does return mean? Return where? It means a return to God. Lo Shuva L'Hashem, to return to God. So what does it, that's why in Tshuva you have to say Ono Hashem. In Ono Hashem it means, Ono Hashem means that if it's an interesting thing. There's a pasuk in Voschanon, and it's also a pasuk in Yitzchak Vayelach. I don't know which one it is. Where the pasuk says, "V'yadata hayom v'ashevosa el levavecha, k'rashem hu alokim b'shamayim mimal v'aloratz mitachas eino." Yadata hayom v'ashevosa el levavecha. So the Sefurno says over there. That's the mitzvah of Tshuva. The Ramban is over there. That's the mitzvah of Tshuva. What is V'yadata Yom HaShavos El Levecha? So, Hashem Hu Elokim. What it means is like this. What it means is that really in every chet that a person does, there's a turning away from God. Which means that it's not just a psul and a maisa. You see, you have to get away from a childish idea of Tshuva. childish day of shuva, I didn't have error now, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore, God forgive me. That's okay for a second grader. But the real idea of tshuva is that a person in doing a chait, his relationship to God is broken. What does it mean his relationship to God is broken? It means his das Hashem is broken. His das Hashem, his knowledge of God is affected. It has to do with everything in Yadus, has to do with das. Tefillah's das. So it means a person who's a Baal Avera is das Hashem. There's some defect in his Das Hashem. Everything boils down to the person's Das Hashem. That's why when a person does tshuva, he may be doing tshuva on a particular avera, but the process of tshuva is supposed to be one which brings him into a different relationship with God, and it changes his Das Hashem, yes?
So the Rabbi Tarzvah says, Halacha Dalet.
Yeah.
Page 1:13.
Ah, you see? That's very good, very good. How he's quoting the Rampet Shishi Allah Dalit. That Shom Vasan Hashem La Ezram Moshe Omar Dover, Arani Hashem Dakah, Uni Chatoi Derech Emes, Shemimeno Eda Darkacho Yichud Shemecha. So the ultimate purpose, and the Rambam talks about a lot in Hilchos Tshuva. It's an interesting thing. Is the Yedias Hashem in Hilchos Tshuva? He has it here in Perek Vav. Here it's just Derech Emes. You see, and then the Rambam in the end of Perek Yud, where the Rambam says talks about Avas Hashem, and that a person's Ava is in line with is in the same proportion to his knowledge, to his Das. What does that have to do with Tshuva? If tshuva was just, I didn't have air, I'm not going to do it anymore. What is all this to do with it? The answer is, tshuva really is where a person, the true Baal tshuva, when he understands a chait that he did, that he does, he realizes the chait comes from a lack of Das Hashem. And he has to change. When he changes, his Das Hashem changes. Everything, any progress that a person makes is always in relationship to God. Okay, that's a good question. In other words, a psychological problem, the person has a psychological disease, so what happens is follows. See, when we say a person's Das Hashem, we're not talking about only about his abstract intellectual comprehension, but it's talking about the very essence of his soul, which means that if a person has a Das Hashem, he has some abstract idea which is unrelated to his nature and his life and his personality, it's not really considered Das Hashem. It's not considered this person under the influence of the knowledge. A person can have a knowledge that something is harmful, but if he engages in that performance, so it means that at that moment that knowledge somehow doesn't affect his personality. The person knows that it's that something is poisonous. The person is addicted. So it means that at the moment of his addiction, at that time he may know this is a harmful thing, but at that time he pushes it out of his mind. So his soul really is unrelated to that knowledge. When we say knowledge, and when the Rambam says knowledge, the Rambam means not simply the abstract notion, but it means besides the abstract notion, it means that the notion should be a part of his makeup, should affect his makeup. Now, the person has a psychological disorientation, depends. And in most instances, what happens is that it prevents him from attaining a certain knowledge. But sometimes the person would be considered, like by Shaul HaMelech. You see, it's not considered, he's not praised for it. The Torah does say, take away from his greatness. He lost the Malucha because of that. But at the same time, it doesn't condemn him because apparently there were certain factors there that may not have been totally under his control. I mean, this only God to judge. But the basic idea of knowledge is not just knowledge in terms of abstract thought. Knowledge is also dependent upon how the knowledge relates to the person. The person doesn't affect them in any way. A person has knowledge of business and he goes around squandering his money, living crazy, making crazy investments. He may have abstract knowledge or something wrong with him. He's unrelated to the knowledge. So what good does knowledge do to his personality? Knowledge of God, of course, has to affect the personality in some way. even in some way it can, but it has to affect his personality, but not to the degree that it should. That's why you have to have tshuva. Tshuva means that the person investigates his character, his personality, his traits, his actions, his deeds, in order to remove the psychological impediments that prevent him from having the knowledge being a part of his nature. And this itself also permits him to see certain ideas in relationship to God, which he would never be able to see before. Psychological prevents a person to advance in knowledge, because people look at things in a psychological manner, a psychological way. Psychology affects a person very strongly. A person has a need for material security. It's very hard for him to relate to God, very hard for him to perceive God. His emotions don't permit him to do it. Okay? It is, in short, knowledge of God represents perfection, which involves the total personality. It can't be just an abstract idea. That definitely is not enough. Definitely is not enough. The essence, and it works both ways. The knowledge doesn't affect him, and because of his defects in his character, he can't perceive certain ideas because he doesn't want to see certain things. So it's one, and Yadus is one. There's no way to separate the two. There are two types of knowledge an individual has to have. He has to have knowledge in a philosophical sense, and he must have knowledge in a personal sense. He has to delve into his personality. If he doesn't delve into his personality and change personality, it affects the philosophical knowledge, and that knowledge in terms of how much knowledge he will gain, and that knowledge which he has doesn't affect him in the right way. It doesn't relate to his essence. A person can't have a philosophical idea, no, his whole life will be steeped in divers. So this is a man, a philosopher. This is not what he means, that the ideas have no relationship to the soul, to his essence. Okay? That's the concept of tshuva. That's why tshuva is das. That's why tefillah is involved in das also. So especially you see if a person studies the tefillahs and he's involved in the tefillahs themselves, the things that the tefillahs tell him he should ask for, he senses immediately these things are not in line with his emotions. So he has to bring his emotions in line with those ideas. In doing that, he perfects his nature, and he improves his vision in terms of his comprehension of God's knowledge on his level, knowledge of God on his level. Okay, so that's the idea of tshuva. Now, what I want to differentiate is between two things. In other words, there's a ma'aseh tshuva on a particular chait, in which the chait is nimchal, the chait is forgiven. But the ma'aseh tshuva brings a person into a different relationship between himself and God. That's an aspect of tshuva. That's why even if a person's a tzaddik gomor, Yom HaKippurim is for him. Because the Rambam says, even in Avera that a person did tshuva on the last year, he can do tshuva on again. Why? Because in the process of understanding his nature, it helps him. The more he understands his nature, you see, it helps him in terms of his relationship to God. So that's why Yom HaKippurim rules for everybody. But Yom HaKippurim plays a role also insofar as Kiyum HaOlam is concerned, in Perek Gimel. So that tshuva comes under two different headings, two different frameworks. One is the personal, and the other one is in terms of Kiyum HaOlam. And it is an obligation on the part of every person to be involved, not just in the personal. That's a chasar, and that means something wrong. That's why I tell you that tefillah perfects a person. Because when a person gets a chaslichas, and he realizes that the purpose in his getting a chaslichas is because he's concerned about Kiyum HaOlam, this has to place him in a different relationship between himself and God. He has a different perception of his relationship to God. His relationship to God, he has to have a certain level of Alas Hashem to be concerned with the Bria, to be concerned with people, concerned with humanity. You see? It's a different level. That's where the tefillah raises the individual to a higher level because of the nature of the tefillah. The person in the spiral, when he says, Ashiva Shoftenik Varashon, Yatsenik Vatchila, and he really bothers him that we don't have the shoftim that we used to have, we don't have the true leaders. So that means that if that bothers him, that means he has to be on a certain level. The person in the spiral of Lama Hashim Al Tisikv has to be on a certain level. The person in the spiral for the Yerushalayim Yechav Rachman Tashuv and Bias HaMashiach and Binyan Yerushalayim and the Kabbates Katsin Yachim Abba Kavasot Tzaini, if these tefillahs are really affect him, if he seriously prays for these things, he has to be in a certain level. So the purpose of the tefillah is that the person should realize what should be, what he should be concerned about. By doing that, he has to change his philosophical outlook. He has to look into his own nature. There are two types of knowledge, the philosophical and the personal. Well, you can't do without either one. That's why there's a big mistake, like the philosophers. Many of the philosophers, they were just concerned with philosophical knowledge. That was their system. Sounds very nice. But without the psychological knowledge, you can't, Yadus maintains there's no such thing as perfection without this. Two types of knowledge. One is universals and one is particulars. Particulars with regard to himself. If he doesn't have the particulars with regard to himself, it's worthless. It's basically worthless. Okay, but I'm not saying that an idea, even though a person can incorporate it, has no benefit. I mean, there's some benefit as well. To what degree? Only God knows. Only God can judge him. But from a basic standpoint, it certainly is not a great change in his soul if he has an idea which doesn't affect him. So then he must correct himself by taking the mind and applying it to the particular knowledge. And that's the purpose of tshuva. But what I want to say like this, to answer the question that the Kesef Mishnah asks. The Kesef Mishnah's question was, how is it possible to say that the Beinoni, why do you have to say the Beinoni does tshuva, if we say Maver Rishon Rishon? That's like this. If when the Rambam says the Yasa Tshuva, Im Asa Tshuva Nechta Machayim, then Lav Nechta Lamesa. Over here, the Rambam's not talking about doing Tshuva on his Averis. The Rambam's not talking about doing Tshuva on his Averis. Why is it that the Beinoni doesn't live? Why is it the Beinoni can't exist? The answer is there cannot be any existence for human life unless there's some relationship to God. The Beinoni means that he's not related to God, because he's equally drawn in both directions. See? His essential nature is not related to God. He's neutral. He's neutral. A neutral individual cannot continue to exist according to God's laws. So that's why it must be Asachuva. It must be Asachuva. Asachuva means the only possible process through which Beinoni is a certain state. Like the Rambam says, it doesn't mean 50-50, you count up the mitzvahs, count the averus. It means only God can judge us. It means a certain state of the soul. If the soul is in a state where it's neutral in its relationship to God, so then it can't continue to exist. There's only one method that can take place to remove the person from the state of neutrality, which is what? Tshuva. That's the only thing. Because tshuva is the only process by which a person changes his whole being, his whole nature. That's why the Rambam didn't say him, osa mitzvah achas. So then he's going to, will be a tzaddik gomer. No, because the Rambam's talking in terms of the framework of the individual. This individual is a neutral individual. There's only one step he has to do next. What's that step? That step has to be true. It's impossible to do it any other way. Just do another mitzvah would be like adding another. If you're going to count mitzvahs, you could say such a thing. Not counting of mitzvahs. It means improving his nature, changing his nature. Changing his nature is only one possible way to do it, and that's tshuva. There is no other way. That's what Rambam says. Masa tshuva is nechta mechayim. If not, so then it means that he's neutral in his relationship to God. He can't continue to exist. Now, when the Rambam is talking about maver rishon rishon, you see. Rambam's talking about a different area over there. The Rambam's talking about how the person is going to be judged insofar as the what happens to the judgment insofar as the averis are concerned. In other words, a person has 500 averis, right? Now, how does God, is God going to punish him for the averis or not? Now, you realize if God would punish everybody for every avera, they wouldn't be able to walk down the street. They'd be in total torment. So that's where the Rambam says, maver rishon rishon. In other words, if the nechtam l'chayim, the Rambam's talking about whether he will continue to live or not, that is only if he does tshuva. It doesn't mean tshuva exists. Because he has no relationship to God, he can't exist. But if he does tshuva, not doesn't mean does tshuva on all his averis. If he did tshuva on all his averis, he'd be a tzaddik gomer. You see? He wouldn't have to have any judgment on that. He'd be a tzaddik gomer. He wouldn't need maver rishon rishon. Also, tshuva means that he returned to God, ana Hashem. If he implied the honor Hashem and he returned to God and increased his das Hashem, then he has a relationship to God, then he's nechta mechayim. But now there's another question. The question is, he's nechta mechayim. Fine. But what about all those averas that he has? And God punishing him for his averas can have a life of pain and suffering. He can't continue to exist. So God has tolerance. God created a system in which we could live peacefully. We can enjoy life. Otherwise, there's no life. So then it's Mavarishan Rishan. That's what the Rambam means by Mavarishan Rishan. But Mavarishan Rishan doesn't mean that God simply wipes out the averas. Then he wouldn't have to do any tshuva. Then the Kesef Mishnah is right. It's a good kasha. You see? Right? The answer is you're dealing with two different frameworks. Within the framework of existence is one question of his continued existence. That's Nechtam L'chayim if he did tshuva, because he has a relationship to God. But now there's a second question within the framework of Kiyum Ha'olam, and that is, how does God judge people? Does God exact punishment from a person the moment he sins? He wouldn't be able to walk down the street, wouldn't be able to breathe, be in total pain all the time. The answer is, Mavarishan Rishan. That's a different process in terms of how God has done this world. Okay. That's why you have the, that's the idea of the Kel Melech. That's the idea of the Kel Melech Yeshua El Kisei Rachamim. Mavarishan Rishan. That's the Racham, that's, by the way, this idea, this concept of Mavarishan Rishan is really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is this? You know, something becomes clear from this Rambam. You see, by the Rambam, by just making a third parak, parak gimel, and showing you that he's going into a different area over here, he opened up the whole idea of the gimel midos. You see? He opened up the whole idea. What kind of knowledge did Moshe Rabbeinu receive by the gimel midos? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayav Hashem apana, v'ani avir kol tuv apanecha, across Hashem Hashem apanecha, and what kind of knowledge did he reveal to Moshe Rabbeinu? It was knowledge insofar as God deals with the world, with human existence. How does he deal with people? Does he exact punishment for a chet? What does he do? So Moshe Rabbeinu, it's similar to Avraham Avinu, was engaged in an argument with God insofar as that area is concerned. But the one that received the highest level of knowledge in that area was Moshe Rabbeinu. That was Vayav Hashem Panam. That's why it fits into Kisisa for the parsha. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about the existence of Kol Yisrael. He was concerned it shouldn't be destroyed. So he wanted to gain knowledge and insight into how God deals insofar as human existence is concerned. What is the level? What is the cutoff level? Where is the tolerance level? And when Moshe Rabbeinu understood how God deals with the world, so he said, Hashem, Hashem, kelatz midas, rachum, lachanan, erech apayim, rev chesed, ve'emes. All those midas are with regard to one framework. What is the framework? The framework of human existence. The framework of human existence. That's the yigimel midas. And that's why on slichos, we say the yigimel midas. Because what is the purpose of slichos, really? Like the Rambam says, the purpose of the slichus is kiyum olam, concern with kiyum olam. The interesting thing is that the Gemara, that's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, kishabonai chotim asu lefonai kaseder hazeh va'ani mochlam. What does it mean? It means that's the principle of Yadus is. That when can a person partake of the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When he understands Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if he doesn't understand them completely. But he quotes the pasuk in which Moshe Rabbeinu was given the nevuah and the knowledge of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see? And he understands that there's a greater knowledge that was given, but he understands he doesn't have the full knowledge. But he just points to the knowledge. That itself is the highest level. That's what the Chazal means. Kishabonai chotin asu lafonai kaseder azeh bani mochlan. It means if they understand, if they have a comprehension, that there's a system of deep system of chokhmah, the way I'm done the world, and that basically what Moshe Rabbeinu saw was Hashem Hashem kel rachem lachanan. That's what it means. Maver rishon rishon, mab mechila chatoyim, mechila laposhim. Because we wouldn't be able to exist for a moment. If God would exact punishment from every other, we wouldn't be able to exist for a moment. That means it's Racham Lachana. That's the Pshar Racham Lachana. So through understanding the Yud Gimel Midos, relating to them in an intelligible way, an intelligent way, you see, then that is the greatest schus for the person, it's the greatest schus for the klal, and because of that, they receive a mechila and kapara. That is the highest relationship, that it, the highest level of relating to Avodah Zarah. That's why Yud Gimel Midos is the instrument through which the klal Yisrael was saved. That's right, exactly. When the Rambam says, see, when the Rambam says that that they, that people, that the person should do, he quotes the Gemara, that person should do, if he does one mitzvah, he's machriya olam. He doesn't mean simply, like we said before, one mitzvah. Because take a look, in the very same halacha he says, Ur Yashem Shinaschem, V'chitzu b'maasechem, V'chizru b'shuva, V'zichru borachem, Zichru borachem. It all has to do with me, with a person's relationship with Akash Baruch. And he goes through El Ashokh and Earth. Therefore, the Fichach Tzorchad and Kolam Shiasma Kolashana Kulikil Chetzi Chayvet Chetzi Zaka means in a state of being, neutral state. He doesn't really have a relationship with God. And the whole world is in a neutral state. They don't have a relationship with God. So even though the Ram says, Osam Mitzvachas, but Osam Mitzvachas doesn't mean just one doing a mitzvah. Mitzvachas means mitzvah. That's what the Ram says. He's Osek in mitzvah, Meisim Tovim Laharbos, Bitzdokah. Lasok the mitzvos marshana b'adigam k'tam means a total change of state, part of which is this tshuva. Without tshuva, it's impossible. As Rambam says before, chifsub masechem lechizur b'shuva elah shochem. And this is all the same thing. Rambam doesn't mean a person can be silly. A person say, "I'll make a bracha and save the whole world." It means that he should change himself, his relationship to God. Meisim tovim, tzedakah, all the things that. And make a person relate to God, to break the state of neutrality, you see. And the Yud Gimel Midos themselves are the biggest, greatest instrument in breaking that state, because it relates a person to God in a rational way through mentioning the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu that were revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of the whole science of how God relates to the Kiyum Olam. That's true, you're right. But I was saying, so if you learn through the slichas, you'll see that on the whole it's for the klal. On the whole it's for the klal. All the slichas are usually for the klal. You're right, Monagas Olam Kulo. It's all Midas Rachamim. What is it? The Midas Rachamim is that if we would perceive the level of tolerance, we would say, a person wouldn't say that. A person, if he saw that, he'd say, no, they should be destroyed. Too many verses. You got your exact punishment. How do you let a person get away with it? No punishment. No. God gives him free reign. Racham Yemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, insofar as a person's, the whole idea of Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lachanan, Erech HaPayim Rav Chesed V'Emes, so the Rambam says, I think even the Yad Chazak mentions it, he says it means a person would call this Racham. What is the idea, what is the main idea? A person would call this Racham, a person would call this Chanan. In relationship to God, you can't have 13 Midas, there are no attributes to God. Ram says that's a Avodah Zarah, that's a precursus, to say that God has Midos. It means to say that a human being would call this Racham. Human being would call God an Erech HaPayim. Erech HaPayim. You can't say God is an Erech HaPayim. A person, it's human terms. So what is the main idea of the Yud Gimel Midos? The main idea of the Yud Gimel Midos is that God's Rachamonis, God's relation, God's Hatova to the world is on a completely different framework. Completely different. We have no concept of it. Just like we can't be, just like it's impossible for us to be Dan, another individual. Like the Rambam says, the only one that can do it is the Borei Olam. Even though we feel very secure that we could be judges, right? We say, oh, but yeah, this is that. That's another. But that's just a feeling. It's because we're operating with our emotions. In the same manner, the Yud Gimel Midos, what they say basically is that God's Hatova, God's goodness to this world is in a totally different dimension. It's impossible for a person, for a human being to perceive it because of his emotional nature would not allow it. A person would say that's Rachum, that's Hanun, Rachapayim, Rav Chesed, Venus. Means to say that he would never, if he couldn't, even Moshe Rabbeinu did Moshe. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, by Erech HaPayim, he says, he couldn't, he fell down. He could answer a shahar. That means to say that even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be masig how God, the extent of God, the public was. It's a totally different framework. It's the framework of the Creator. If we can't have that framework, impossible for us to perceive it. The only way to perceive it is above the other. That's the basic idea of good news. Another thing is to see why he quotes the psukim up here. Why is he quoting all these psukim? Zakas don't want to rub on the other thing. The reason is because you need psukim for this. What are the laws? What is the point of tolerance that God has insofar as allowing people to exist and insofar as he doesn't punish them for their avarice? You see, he doesn't punish them. That's Mavarishan region. He doesn't punish. If he punished them for every avarice, they wouldn't be able to exist. They'd be in total torment. It feels like Moshe Rabbeinu was not Olam Haba. God didn't say he was making a difference in Olam Haba. Because Olam Haba was very nice. But the Tfilis were really for Olam Hazeh. The Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam. The scholar world should exist. What Jeff mentioned is very good. That's why Slichus can't be said by a Yach. Exactly. That's excellent. And that's why the Yud Gimel Midas can't be said by a Yach. Only B'tzibur. Melamech and it's not there for Kadosh Baruch Hu to Shliach Tzibur. It's only Shliach Tzibur because it's only Allah and the Tzibur. The Yachid can't say Slichus. That's right. Very good. That's right. What Steve is mentioning is very true. That there's a person that Tfilas HaTzibur Nishmas Tamed around themselves. That Tfilas HaTzibur, it means that a person can sometimes be not be Zelcha in terms of the Yachid, but he can be Zelcha in terms of the Tzibur. As I mentioned many times, that the Rav said that the main tefillah on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur really is the tzibur. Yachid, he says, can say tzidik adin, but insofar as if he wants to have any chance of human survival, that's based on the tzibur. That's based on the tzibur. That's just tzibur. Sometimes a person is not a zelcha b'taras yachid, but he's zelcha insofar as he's a part of the tzibur, and the tzibur needs him, and he's an integral part of the tzibur. So he can be zocha to chayim, because of the because he's an integral part of the tzibur. That's a good point. That I was mentioning also that vidui comes later, and even the vidui is b'taras rabim, hashamnu, b'gadnu, even that's b'taras rabim, and mishana, all of mishana is a tzibur, all of tzibur. Yeah, the person is not tied into the tzibur. In terms of his tefillahs, if his only concern is for himself, his personal security, his personal existence, he really doesn't have much of a part of the whole tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or even the Kedusha Yom of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's impossible for a person who is egocentric to really partake of the whole system of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And just by starting the tefillahs, you can say. I just want to mention the question of why Russia continues to exist. Somebody asked me a question. You have to understand the Rambam is dealing with certain factors in isolation in terms of Kiyum Olam. He's dealing with the Yachid, for instance, in total isolation, so far as he's a Yachid. But it's like, you know, in terms of the real situation of Kiyum Olam, there are other factors involved. It's like Newton's law of inertia. The body will continue to travel in a straight line if no other force is imposed. But the truth of the matter is nothing can travel in a straight line because there are always other bodies that affect any body that's in existence. But it's an ideal law. The Rambam is speaking in the ideal state. If the Yachid was only a Yachid by himself, so then he would cease to exist the moment he's Beni doesn't do tshuva, if he's a Russia. But in terms of Kiyum Olam, God, of course, there are other factors that God takes into consideration. Like you see the pasuk says by Paro. That Paro is a Russia, certainly. And the Pasuk says, Wulam Bavrozos Amaraticho, Laman Haroskas Kochi, Laman Sapashmi Bechol Oretz. That means that the Pasuk says, help me. God said that his continued existence is in order to glorify God's miracles, glorify God. So there are different considerations. The Rambam's only speaking theoretically he's isolating this one aspect. But a Russia could exist for different reasons. A Russia might be, first of all, the question is, Rishonim asked the question, how come a Russia doesn't die right away? So there's basically two answers. Both of them are true. They're not exclusive. One of them is that we really don't know what a Russia is. That's many times. Many times our judgment of Russia, we don't know. But even if a person should be a Russia, there could be other reasons why that Russia exists in terms of how he affects others. You see? It could be for good, it could be for bad. I mean, Nazi Germany was certainly Rishonim, But apparently they the Onish for Kol Yisrael, and they were given existence until the time that the Onish was complete. Okay, so what we want to add is that the Tikkun Olam is a central part of the Tfilis. I mean, the whole Malchus, Sayyid Malchus, the whole Malchus is all the Yerikal Pogra, the Alto, Malach, Alam Kulu, all that is true. Why is Tikkun Olam so central? Because God wants Tikkun Olam. Because it's God's will it should be Tikkun Olam. So our Tfilah for Tikkun Olam is tied very, very integrally with Avas Hashem. Okay. The only thing I'll mention in the way of the process of Mavir Rishon Rishon, I mean, of course, we don't understand the process. I mean, it's Midas Akash Baruch Hu, you'll meet us Mavir Rishon Rishon. But I think we could have some idea of what it means, at least. Basically, it means like this. The first two Chatanim, as he says, what's the idea that God is doesn't count them in terms of weighing the various mitzvahs? It means that he's looking for the state of the soul. And the first two times, the Gemara says the third time already becomes like a... irregular, affects his nature. Now, if he turns out to be a Beinoni, so it means to say that his nature is not inherently bad. So every Chayt is really like a Rishon already. See, if he's not a Beinoni, so it means that his nature is riddled with evil. So he has an evil nature. So in the first Chayt also, he gets Nenor for. Because even the first one is an indication. That's why a person can't say, I'll do the first two Chatoyim. You know what I mean? Because I mean, if he really is doing the first two, because he believes in chayt, that's what he wants to do. So that means it's a part of his nature. He's not going to be able the next chayt he does might be a small chayt, but it's going to be indicative of his whole nature. So it's an impossible thing to in advance to consciously try to do such a thing. But Mavir Rishon Rishon, the basic idea I think is that if he's a Beinoni, so every chayt means is like a chayt Rishon, because it hasn't affected his nature.
That's it. Qualitative.
Yeah, it's qualitative. Yeah, right. That's right. That's right. But this, of course, insofar as the real state of a soul, this process is necessary. What is this process necessary for? It's necessary for to judge whether he'll get an onish on this world, whether he'll be an onish, or what the level of God's tolerance is insofar as chayt is concerned. So the answer is a beinoni. God considers every chayt like a rishon. He doesn't punish him for it in this world. There's no punishment. So therefore, he can live this earthly existence in peace. He's not. He doesn't get an onish. That's what it means. So the process, again, the process of rishon is insofar as onish in this world is concerned. That's important. Otherwise, you don't need this whole thing. That's right. It really explains something else also. It explains what happens in Olam Haza and Olam Haba. You know, that's an area that you seldom see explained and you're taken up. In other words, the question is, what does whatever we know that Olam Shem Yisurim Mamakam of Onosu Shalodam, right? So Yisurim take away a person of Eris. The question is, how much Yisurim do we get for our Eris in this world and how much is left for the next world? You know what I mean? Like, that's a big question. We don't know the answer to that. But over here you see, in a general way, that is a general principle, God does not give a person an onesh. If he's a Beinoni, then he will not give him an onesh insofar as the particulars is concerned. But it will affect him in terms of the next world. There's a different judgment insofar as this earthly existence. Otherwise, there couldn't be existence on this planet. There's a different judgment in terms of this earthly existence in terms of the state of the soul. That's a different thing altogether. Could be that's what the Gemara means, Yisurin Shalava. Yisurin Shalava means that there's a special tzaddik that God... And the Gemara says, it's an interesting Gemara. Gemara says, Chazal, let's say, how come you see certain tzaddikim have tremendous onshim? So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik in tzaddikim kechut asara. Gemara says that. With regard to, I think, Nachum Ish Gamzu, with different people. That God is medaktik with tzaddikim kechut asara. What does it mean, medaktik kechut asara? It means that the average person just goes under the general rule of the Chayei Olam Hazeh, because there has to be a society, there has to be a Chayei Olam Hazeh. But a tzaddik is under a special hashgacha, so God could give him an onesh in this world, which corrects him so that his soul is in a state of perfection in the next world. It's a different kind of, he has a special relationship with God. And that's why he can't look at a tzaddik and say, how come he had this onesh? He has a benefit, because that's tzaddikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktim HaKadosh HaSaira. But he means he's outside the realm of the general laws of the human existence. He's on a different realm. He's in a different realm. Stop. Okay. Your opinion raised the question of Hashgacha Pratius and judgment. Judgment Hashgacha Pratius is two different things. Hashgacha Pratius means a person is constantly under, so to speak, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but like, he's under a certain, he's in line with a certain power. I mean, it doesn't mean, it's a bad word to use, but it means he's under God's Hashgacha. It means he's operating in a different realm of reality. His reality is affected by the fact that he relates to God. So he bypasses the laws of nature, so to speak. A different kind of thing. Judgment, everybody has judgment. I see the Ramban says that Ace Pekudasa, the Ramban says in the Chumash. Ramban says the same thing, that the average person, Ene Hashem Ali Reyos, only to Tzadikim. But he says that everybody, Ace Pekudasa means when God judges him. That's a different thing. Judgment is different than Hashgacha. Totally different phenomenon. Good point.